Sure, God began to deal with me. I was going to go on down the lines, but he wanted me to bring some things out tonight, maybe. But I think it's part five or six or something. Oh, yeah, part five. Hallelujah. And but God is a good God. Hallelujah. How many knows he's good?
Yes.
Praise God, he is a good God. And Beth, put that Psalms 34 up there, please. Now, this scripture right here, it was a revelation to me. I would go to church and different churches before I got saved. And even after I got saved, I evangelized for 7 years. I went to different churches and different things for 7 years and just meeting Christians in general. But I would hear it quoted a lot in church, you know, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I mean, they would just amen and amen and all of that, you know. But I had a revelation that they wasn't finishing the scripture. They were identifying with their afflictions. They were identifying, yes, you know, we always have an afflictions, you know. But I read the rest of it and it said, but the Lord shall deliver them out of them all. Hallelujah. And when I read that, I thought, glory to God, the devil has been playing them as puppets on a string, the church, a lot of people in the church. You know, and so I set out, praise God, on a journey for 30 years with that scripture almost. And I've walked this scripture out, praise God. I don't stand up here and minister this word not knowing whether it works or not. I'm telling you, God is faithful. He watches over his word to perform it. I mean, he watches over it to perform. He makes sure that the word that we get in our heart and we believe and we expect, he makes sure that somehow good comes out of it. I mean, good comes out of everything that we go through. I don't care how bad it is, but if we believe God, see, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. See, the key is believing that God is working in your mess. Believing that God is working in your troubles. Believing that God, many are the afflictions. Believing that God is going to bring a break. This is the key. Faith is the victory. Not begging is the victory. Not crying over it is the victory. Not saying, God, you understand is the victory. No, faith is the victory according to 1 John 5:4. And the Bible says in Mark 11:22, have faith in God. You know, and that was right after the fig tree. And he was showing them how to speak to that mountain. Speak to that thing that's not bearing the fruit that you want. And so he goes on and he brings that illustration out to them, showing them. He was teaching the disciples. He was teaching them and went on telling him, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Now, I mean, that takes some mind renewal as a Christian. I mean, you got to renew your mind. How do I, you know, and so pondering on it. The Bible says, ponder the path of your feet, not everybody else's feet. I can't determine what Johnny gets in his life. I can't. I can pray all day long. I can fast for him. I can, you know, and all of that. But the outcome of Johnny or your life is going to be the measure that you pay attention to of God's word, and God give you direction in your stuff. I mean, he'll tell you what to do. I went through, you know, the COVID deal, and things changed real quick. The way that I had to do finances, everything. Dealing with people, everything changed. And I went to the Lord, and I sought the Lord, and he heard me. And he began to give me ideas and things to do. Praise God. That was my affliction. Many are the afflictions. See, it might be just a story to you, but you're what you go through and what you face and what you will go through is your affliction. Sometimes affliction comes through people. But that's why we take the scripture and we don't start getting bitter at people. Because we realize, according to Ephesians over there, that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. People are not our problem. They may be yielding to the enemy, but they are not your enemy. And so if you go get over there in that arena, you're over out of the arena of faith. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. That's what the Bible says. So I'm going to try not to get in a hurry. Y'all, we won't go too long. But I usually get excited and I get in a hurry, you know. I'm going to try not to get in a hurry. Because, you know, out of 30, 40-minute sermon, you might get one little nugget. But I'm going to believe God, we're going to get more than one little nugget. I'm believing God for impartation and revelation, not just in this house, but in all of those that are listening by Facebook. My family's logging in now. Praise God, they telling me about it. They listening to it. Sunday morning was one of the most powerful sermons. My sister said, she lives over in North Carolina, South Carolina, wherever she lives. Anyhow, said that's one of the most powerful sermons I've ever heard you preach. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good things are going on. Good things are happening. But we're all believing God. We're believing God because we serve Him. He'll save our whole house. We're believing no matter what it looks like in the natural. We look at God's Word and say, God, You are a faithful God. You watch over Your Word to perform it. You need me to meditate on it. You need me to believe it. You need my faith. God needs your faith. Faith to God is like, you know, go out here at the grocery store and tell them, you know, God told you to come here and fill your car up by faith. Tell that cashier that. Have your phone on. I want to hear it. We want to. No, you go in there and you pull your wallet out and you pay for that gas. Why? Because you know that the money is what gets your gas. Well, that's the currency in the world system, food and gas and all of that. Well, faith is the same tool. It's the same currency in this supernatural kingdom that we are born of. We are not normal people anymore. We're new creations. The Bible says, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new, and all things are of God. But, you know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says, you know, leaving the elementary doctrines of the cross and grow and go on into perfection. Go on into maturity. Get past getting saved. Go on into that place of dominion. I'm over here and I'm praying around the church, you know, and looked over. Well, I better not say that. Witchcraft is behind drugs, you know. And so I just started taking dominion. I saw some things. And so I just started taking dominion. I said, I claim them right now to this church in the name of Jesus, God. God, I thank You, Lord, that Your anointing is moving, going out of my mouth. The faith going out of my mouth, and it's going across over there, and it's penetrating the darkness that's holding these people bound. See, well, if Satan can keep us caught up in our afflictions, warring with our... You ain't got a war. The war's won. I mean, the battle belongs to the Lord back there in the Old Testament. He took care of it. Pray God brought Jesus and whipped Satan. I mean, destroyed darkness, and we are the decreers. We are the ones that decree a thing, and God establishes it. That is why we decree over ourselves according to God's Word that we are more than conquerors. I mean, you can feel all juiced up and strong in church, but it's out there when you're facing your afflictions at home with your kids, with your neighbor's kid. Thank God He moved me to where I got some good neighbors. I didn't once have. Bless God, I mean, it was a struggle just to live normal. That's why Teresa went on and told, she said, I'm leaving with God or without God. I'm out of here. What was going on? Afflictions. It was afflictions. And we didn't know a lot. We didn't know a lot that we know now. How to stand still and see the salvation. Although the Word says it, you can know what the Word says, but until you begin to put it in practice, you will not get the benefits of it. Until you begin to say, I shall not be moved. I'm like a tree planted by the water. I mean, that was a powerful. We had some powerful services Sunday. Hallelujah. God teaching us how to stay strong under pressure. You cannot get out of pressure. You won't get out of pressure. Jesus said, as long as you're here on the earth, He said, you will have persecution and troubles. He said, you will have it. He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome. And in Him, we overcome. We overcome persecution. We overcome anger. We overcome. Listen, this is what afflictions means in that word affliction right there. It means more than just affliction. It means mischief, misery, trouble, calamity, displeasure, distress, grief. Everything's going good, then I get one phone call with somebody you can't satisfy at all with garage doors. Then you're like, oh, God, why did you have to let this guy call me? Affliction. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers you out of calamity, displeasure, distress, grief. Sometimes it's not that not coming against you. It's freedom on the inside. The Apostle Paul wrote most of the New Testament in prison, in locks and bonds, under warfare from the Romans and all of that. I mean, he had a rough time preaching the gospel. I mean, there was a lot of witchcraft and religion and doctrines of demons and all of that greater in his time when he come and Jesus, the Lord give him the commission to bring the grace, the gift of God to us, the message of the gift. Jesus brought it to us. And so it gives you a little more. This dude had some troubles. Jesus had some troubles. I mean, put on a whipping post. Paul was too. Hallelujah. He was beat just like Jesus. But the Lord, now, see, sometimes God's not going to deliver you from trouble. He's going to deliver you in trouble. He's more interested in me growing up in trouble. He's more interested in me getting stronger in trouble. Where when trouble comes, we're not moved. We're just like, why me, God? Why? I don't understand, God. I go to church. Well, some of them can't say I go to church. You better get in church. Hallelujah. Bible says, forsake not the assembling. You just don't understand what you're missing out on. You don't understand the atmosphere that you get in. Your couch is not like the church. Your couch is not your living room. Your phone, your iPhone, your iPad, all of that is not. There's a different anointing in the houses of God wherever you're supposed to be under the anointed preached Word of God. There is a different impartation to you. There's things that you get that you will not get if you don't assemble yourself together unless they are like where Mac goes. Now Mac is taking he's gonna go. He said, I'm thinking I'm gonna go visit over there at the nursing home. You know, he's anointed to go there. He's got a purpose there. Now he's thinking about going over there sometime in the week, you know, and visit with these folk and all of that stuff. Why? They can't come to church, Mac. The church is going to them. Mac's planted here.
Yes.
He is.
I am.
He's planted in the house of the Lord, and he's going to flourish. I feel like Mac is an outreach to that nursing home from this church. He feels it too. He knows it. He knows we're behind him. I'm praying for him. Yeah. Offering him Bibles. Go over there, backing him up over there. Hallelujah. Yeah. Going over there. See? See, that's what it's about. The jails and the prisons, the nursing homes, the hospitals, they can't go assemble. Now, God will bring that anointing in there. He'll take it to them. He'll put it in there, praise God. But if you're able to go to the house of God, you need to get planted in the house of God. We're on the edge of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we're in a place where God is bringing the United States united, he's going to do it, and the church is united, and an outpouring of God's Spirit. We're in awakening. But see, the enemy wants God's people, he wants us caught up in these afflictions and all of that to where we don't fight. We just lay down and just quit. The Bible says in Proverbs 24:10, he said, if you faint in the time of adversity, your strength is weak. I read that in Proverbs one time and I was failing on every hand, Mac. I hadn't been saved long. I'd tried, boy, and I'd fail. I'd try and I'd fail. And I read that and I thought, my God, I know it already. Why are you telling me that in the Word? I know it already. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, don't look at it like you're weak. He said, fortify, build up. He said, don't get discouraged because you're giving in to pressures and you're still getting mad at your wife and you'll still cuss somebody out every now and then if you make me real mad and all that. But he was saying, he was saying it's not a time to quit. He said, it's a time to build yourself up in the Word of God. Build yourself up where when adversity comes your way. I mean, I can be fine and get one phone call at my house. One phone call and try to wreck my whole world in an instant. I sold a dozer, guy gonna move it today, and I said, that's fine. I said, but after 3 o'clock, I'm not available. Well, he calls me at 2:30. Well, we can't get there. He done got a big truck lined up and all that. I can't get there till 2:30. I said, you can't have it today. You know why? This is church day. I told you yesterday, I don't care if it's 2:59. I'm not coming. Why? Because I'm going to keep my priorities straight. I'm coming to the house of God. I done made my mind up, and I thought, well, what if he don't bite? And I thought, well, I'll just keep it. Simple to me. I'll drive up over there and say, hey, Victory, glad to see you. I got victory over you, and you're just a sure sign of it, still sitting there. Hallelujah. That's what you got to do. I'm not telling you a story. I'm telling you, black God, my mind's made up and my heart is set. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to have the will of God. I'm going to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I'm not going to give in to the pressures of this life. The Bible says over there in the parable of the sower soweth the word that the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, you know, choke the word that it becomes unfruitful. What's unfruitful? You faint every time. You get discouraged every time. You quit moving forward. You go back instead of forward. That's what it means. If you let the cares of this world's troubles, family trouble. We all been through family trouble. I don't know nobody ain't been through no family trouble. Everybody I know been through family trouble. I don't dig into y'all, so I'm up here for preaching free. I don't know about all y'all. I don't want to know about all y'all. I know enough by having to pray for you. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Good enough. That's all I need to know. Because you get into details, you try to get me off track. See, you don't need too many details about people. All you need to know is pray for them. Lift them up, praise God, hallelujah. I was going down the road one day driving a truck before I went in my own business. I was going down the road and I had $10 is all I had to my name on a Monday. And I hit the interstate down below Birmingham. I'm going south. And there's this guy on the side of the road and he's holding a sign, work for money or something, you know. And I thought, nah, you're a wino, man. You're just a wino, you know. Like that, and all of a sudden I felt like Give him $10. I thought, man, he'll go buy beer or something with you, you know, or some, you know, winos, they buy that cheap wine stuff. And I mean, I'm so compelled to do it, you know. I go on, I go a couple exits down, I exit off, and I go back around, and I gave that $10. I gave my whole week's allowance. So don't give me that, you ain't got nothing to eat through the week. I didn't die. Amen. God took care of me. Hallelujah. All week, people giving me Cokes and giving me biscuits and, I mean, bringing me cakes and all kind of stuff started happening because of that. But you know what? It wasn't too long I was reading in my Bible. See, that's an affliction. Many are the afflictions. I'm not just talking about bad stuff. Unpleasurable stuff. Things that don't, is not very pleasurable to me. Like giving cars away. I'd give a bunch of cars. I didn't really want to. I wanted to drive them. Man, I'd be like Johnny. I wouldn't have nowhere to park them if I kept all of them. Johnny takes him 45 minutes, you know, to move all his cars to mow his yard up yonder, man. Then you drive by his house over there and it's full. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, it wasn't too long after that I was reading in there, and it says, beware who you entertain, for some have entertained angels unaware. And when I read that, I could see that dude on the interstate. I don't know how long it was. And I thought, oh my God, I was an angel. I entertained an angel, and I wasn't even aware of it. See, I wouldn't have knew, April, if I hadn't have been an angel, if I hadn't been reading my Bible outside of church. Reading my Bible. I wasn't reading my Bible to get a sermon together. I'm reading that word because I'm seeing stuff in that word. I'm like, glory to God. When I read the scripture over there where it says the hand of the diligent will bear fruit, I didn't like that scripture either. That was an affliction to me because I wasn't diligent. Come on, somebody. It wasn't as bad as love your enemy, but it was next. It was kin to it to me. Says the hand of the diligent will bear rue, but the slothful will be put to forced labor. And I wasn't answering, and God quickened me to that. And I thought, oh my goodness, I got to be diligent. It was hard for me to be diligent. I know you might not think that's a challenge. It might not be a challenge for you, but not speaking unbelief out of your mouth might be a challenge for you. Oh, I don't feel good. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, that's not Bible words. That's demonic Bible words. That's demonic preaching. That's doctrines of demons. If you read in the Bible is very clear what we'll do. We seek the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me. Many are the afflictions of the... We say out of our mouth, I might be going through, but God, this season will end. They'll come an end to this season, bless God, and I will reap fruit from this season that I'm in. I might be in a season of pruning to where God is telling me to be diligent when I'm not diligent, praise God. But this pruning is going to cause me to bear rule, and I do it today. I wasn't a bear rule kind of guy back under. You wouldn't like me too good. I'd steal your stuff. Now I give you stuff, man. I'll pop $100 on you so fast you'll be like, woo, yes, yes. I'm coming back to, I thought about it. I thought about going around people and saying, you know what? Every one of y'all that shows up, I got a $50 bill. I would pack this house. And then they would steal the toilet paper and everything on their way out. I could pack this house. I could sell an igloo to an Eskimo, according to Doris's husband, Roger. He said that boy can sell an igloo to an Eskimo. Hallelujah. I got an anointing on me. I got anointing business and all that stuff, you know. And I could get people, you know, in here, but it wouldn't be a heart draw thing. And so, I just won't do it. If the gospel can't get them, if God can't draw them, if He can't bring them, hallelujah, then I don't want them. You don't want them. We don't want all of that. We want heartfelt people, praise God, loving God and going after God jacked up from the floor up don't bother us a bit. If we are strong under pressure, then we can handle their pressure. See, you gotta stand strong in the where you're at. You gotta get victory where you're at so you can go up to another level. He takes us from faith to faith and from glory to glory. See, there's payment faith. There's faith where I couldn't even believe I could have one. My brother taught me into believing God. Man, God won't. God will give you a truck. And I'm like, my man, God, I can work for my own truck. I work for it. Why don't I bother God? Back down there, 27. Dumb. We go by and he said, there's your truck. And I said, that's not my truck. He said, we're going back. Turn around. We're going back. We're going to believe God for that truck. I said, well, that's dumb, but. We go back there and he said, look at it. He said, don't you like it? And I said, well, yeah, I like it. He said, well, it's for sale. He said, you can have that truck. He said, I feel like God's going to give you that truck. Now go to the bank. I thought, yeah, I can't do that. I ain't got no credit, man. I mean, I can't go do this stuff. Anyhow, you know what? I drove that truck. I took that truck home. God supernaturally helped me pay for that truck. And then there come a time where I was just hoping that I wouldn't miss no payments and I lose it. Well, I didn't. Paid it through. Then I went from that level of faith, praise God, to a level of faith to where I'm like, well, let God pay it off early. I could not even see paying cash right there. I couldn't. I couldn't conceive it. People told me, but I mean, I couldn't see it. And so I thought, well, bless God, what I'm going to do, I'm going to believe to pay it off early. So when I would buy one, I would believe to pay it off early. And the majority of vehicles that I've ever bought, I paid them off early. Then, bless God, I used to put garage doors on a ticket, 30 days paid for it. And I made up my mind that I don't borrow. I don't borrow, so I believe God, and I thought, there's no way, my mind, I thought, there's no way that can happen. See, this was a part of affliction growing up to believe God, that God is bigger than what I can do. That's affliction too. That's affliction. But the Lord said He delivers us, right? And so I went on, and I mean, I struggled with it, but I put it into action. See, just because you're struggling don't mean you're not moving forward. Just because you're going through does not mean you're defeated. Just because you feel defeated does not mean that's reality. The Bible says that God always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. We got to believe that. Believe that God is working in this mess. And don't get down in the feelings and the emotions. Get up above them. The Bible says that we have been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The only reason that we would be in a low place is we're thinking low. Because we're seated in heavenly places. We're already the head, not the tail. Deuteronomy came to pass through Jesus. The covenant, the favor of God, the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And I'm not just on money, rich spiritually. I mean rich in faith, rich in joy. And I'm telling you, joy is strength. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. I mean, and I feel it. I mean, I'm glad I'm on God's side. I'm glad I've got the Holy Spirit. I'm glad I got the wisdom of God. I'm glad I've got the Word of God. But you know what? I came to a place I do not borrow money. I do not put it on the ticket. It's been a lot of years. I didn't believe I could do it, April. It looked impossible. See, and that's why one reason, not just the reason, but one reason I can stand here today and tell you that God, He watches over His Word to perform it, Today, I've not got one product on the credit in many years. And I had to come down here while I was struggling and couldn't see it and didn't tell y'all that it'll happen for you. I had to come down here and tell y'all when Travis is acting up that God is big over your children when it didn't look like it in mine. See, the Bible says at Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is the substance, the water in the bottle, of the things you hope for. It is the evidence. It's all the evidence you need. The evidence of things not seen. I hadn't seen putting doors on a ticket. There was a lot of adjustments I had to do with customers and different things to make that happen. Where I quit carrying people. You're going to carry your own self. You want doors? Give me some money. If you don't give me some money, you just really don't want doors. Because you're not using my money. Right? Come on, somebody, do you see? I thought, will this work? I mean, God showed me. He said, sure. He said, they want doors. He said, they buy doors. He said, you want groceries, you go to Walmart. Right? You pay for it. And all that. It's been working for a lot of years, Johnny. Working for a lot of years. Now see, the afflictions you're going through, God is bringing more than out. God is going to bring spiritual growth to you. He's more interested in you developing spiritually than He is your needs met. That's right. Where is the kingdom? It's in us, right? Seek first the kingdom, and all these things will be added. Seek first the kingdom. And we do it. I put it first today, so don't give me that over jobs and money and blah, 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 blah. You know, we all have to, and people say, well, you know, they've told me before, well, you own your own business. And I'd say, well, I'd rather not. I don't even know what they're saying. You own your own business, so you do what you want to. You tell them customers that. He does what he wants to. Well, I go, we're going yonder and get them over there. No, I don't do what I want to. I'm in the will of God, and it's a struggle to go to work. I don't want to go to work on Monday either, or Tuesday. Travis, he's headed home before he gets to the truck. That's why he's late every morning. He gets homesick coming out of the back door. I tell one of the guys that work with, I tell him, your sidekick's late. And he's like, well, it's just 2 minutes. I said, but he's late. Well, yeah, he's late. That's an affliction. Right there. Somebody late every morning, you diligent. Whoo! You have to get on Facebook to keep from coming unglued. Get on Facebook for a few minutes. Oh, yeah, I'll just get your mind off of it. Travis, he's getting depressed back yonder. It's been a long time ago. And I told him, I could tell he didn't feel good. I know when y'all depressed. Y'all come in here. I can tell when you're angry, you're sad. I can tell when you're happy. Like her. Just happy about everything. You thought she smoked a joint before she got here. Everything funny. Got one of my brothers one time, he never smoked pot. And I said, oh, come on, man. Me and Teresa had, we got him to smoke some, and he just bottled up like a baby laughing. So I know all that stuff. But you know, serving the Lord's higher high than that. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Hallelujah. God wants you strong under pressure, but you can't do it. Come hear a good sermon and then go back home and turn on them blues music again. Turn on Katrina or whatever your next one is. Just watch the devastation day in, day out. Watch it, watch it, watch it. It's bad. I mean, get caught up in it. There's nothing you can do in unbelief. But you can pray. Me and Teresa talked about it. You feel anything we should do? You feel anything we should do? Should we give money? Should we, you know, the church, us? We looking to see if God will. We're not caught up in it. We're God, if you want to be our hands, if they need some money, here we are. We will do it. We'll hook up. We'll do it. Well, instead of sitting down there, oh, those poor people. Poor, poor. I hate it, but I believe He's a big God that can sweep right on in there and show miracles throughout the whole devastating storm. He's going to show miracles all the way. We're going to see God move in to those that are trusting God and bring protection. He's even going to get His word to those that don't know Jesus up through there. You got the government trying to stop the church from going up there, some of them. Ain't that just like the devil? But you know what? They have revelation that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Blood God. God, which way do we go? What do we do, God? I bind every principality. They do it. I bind every principality. I know they're not our enemies, God. God, you make a way where there seems to be no way. You make a way for us, and they up there to help people, praise God. And God strengthens them. That's their affliction. But He's going to bring them out, hallelujah. How many knows God wants His people strong under pressure? We must learn how to stand and believe God when pressure comes. I'm telling you, man, I mean, this is the key to victory. I mean, you got to work on it. The Bible says count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the testing of your faith, the trying of your faith, works patience. Patience. I wrote it down here. I'm not going to get to the scriptures, Beth. Patience is the ability to accept or tolerate delay. You have a God-given ability. It says it is the ability to accept, tolerate, delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. There's the key. Without complaining, without getting angry, without getting out of a right spirit. That's what patience. It says, but let patience have its perfect work that you be entire, not lacking anything. Mature, grow spiritually, and not lack anything. See, but when you complain, I mean, I could complain right now about the government and what's going on. I could complain right now about the Democrats. I can complain about the Republicans. I can complain about people that's blind because it says if they leading me, we're going in a ditch. Right? I mean, I could go complaining about the God. God, God. But my God is, you are a big God. You saved me when I was 27 years old. I've been through the fire. I've been through the flood. I've had men right over my heads, but you brought me out to a wealthy place because I took the scripture and believed that my God that I'd give my heart to would do what Psalm 66:12 says for me. I've had people over the years, what if it don't work? Now, I'll always be like, what if it does? What if God don't show up? What if He does? I always come back, God told me, He said, you just always be optimistic. He said, if you stick to my word, you'll be positive. If you don't stick to my word, you'll be negative. He said, a Christian that don't pay attention to my word, they're left to their own understanding. And when you don't understand, you get frustrated. You get aggravated. You get discouraged. That's why you got to lean not to your own understanding when you don't understand. I don't know everything, Johnny. I can't figure out everything. Somebody told me one time, wonder why they act like they do. And I said, I don't want to know in their mind. I don't want in their mind. I can see the fruit. I used to think, man, they swallowed a stupid seed and brought them a harvest of stupid. And I quit even doing that. I'm like, no, they're just ignorant. They're bound by the devil, praise God. Hallelujah. They're just bound by their... A lot of people ain't bound by the devil. They're bound by their own will. The devil can't do nothing if people decide. I decided to go to Jesus. I put him right back in his place right quick. He couldn't stop me from getting saved. He couldn't stop me. All the marijuana in there and the drugs and the whiskey and all that didn't stop my choice. He set before us, I didn't even know it. He said he set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. And he says, choose life. Choose life and live. Choose life and be blessed. Hallelujah. But the word patience is the ability to accept or tolerate delay. I mean, you know, I get out on the road. I get on the interstate. You know, Travis, he's looking to see if there's any delays sometimes when we're getting on the interstate. Because you can get on the interstate if there's been a wreck, and I mean, you can sit there for hours. You're out in the middle. You can't turn around. You can't do anything. You're in a hurry. You need to do this. You need to be there. You need to be at work. You need to be, you're headed, whatever you're doing. And God is saying in those kind of times, you have the ability to tolerate delay. Just because your prayers, you ain't seen them yet, don't mean they wasn't answered. They could be demonic spirits delaying. They could be things God's having to work out in people's lives, hallelujah, to get the answer that you're asking Him for. So see, patience is not getting angry. People get angry with God. Oh, my God, don't move. Then you got some people, they get angry with people like us because we're believing God. And God moves for who do they think they are. I can tell you who I know I am. I don't think who I am anymore. I'm not Weston anymore. I am a child of the Most High God. My last name just had to be given to me by my parents, and I'm thankful for my family and all of that, but I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I died, Scotty died, and the new man came up, and he's been living ever since. Hallelujah. And I can tell you who I am. I'm not trying to be a Christian. I am one. I'm not trying to get victory. I got victory. You do too. I got challenges in my life that I don't know how it's going to work out. That's not going to determine what I believe. And if you believe God wants you to prosper, then tithe. It's not something I do. It's something who I am. I'm going to honor God with my finances. God has honored me with His finances. I mean, He's honored me. He says, those who honor me, I will honor. Those who don't pay a little bit of attention to me, I'll pay a little bit of attention to them. If you believe God wants you to prosper, then look over there at Luke 6:38. It says, give and it shall be given unto you. What I'm telling you is that the pressures of this life to survive, you've got to let God let you live. You're not trying to get by. Well, I only live on Social Security. I've heard it all. My mama did too, and I taught her, and she finally started tithing $600 or $700 a month. Pray God, and I mean, when my mama left here, she couldn't have anything extra at that time. But I couldn't go by my feelings and emotions. The Bible didn't say the widows don't tithe. The Bible didn't say her husband died, she don't tithe. The Word didn't say, God didn't say, she's a broke woman, I understand. God didn't say none of that. I told God, I will tithe for her. He said, you can, but it won't do her no good. He said, it's a heart thing. He said, I need her heart trusting me. My mama loved God even before then. But God couldn't pour out into her life like He wanted to. And she was just having to deal and put up and live in the affliction of not having enough and having to be dependent on somebody. And in that manner, praise God. But you know what? When my mama passed on from this earth, all of her bills was paid, bless God. And Teresa, my wife, wrote every one of my brothers and sisters a check when the dust was settled. My mama left them all money to what the Bible says, a broke woman. And I felt really good later, Johnny. I didn't feel real good. That was my affliction, God asking me to do that, because my emotions were a little bit involved, you know. And so God was teaching me how to set my emotions aside and do what I needed to do. Tithing is one of the things that Jesus didn't do away with it. He told them in the New Testament. He said these things, they was talking about tithing. He said, these things you should have been doing already. He said, but don't forget the weightier matters of the law. He didn't say don't worry about tithing. Don't even be concerned about that. But just make sure you love and you walk in love and the weightier matters. They are weightier matters than the law other than money. Loving God with all of our heart. Love our neighbors ourselves. Hallelujah. But if we want the advancement of the kingdom of God, then we're going to have to let financial pressure shut up. And I mean, step out and believe God. Sow you some seeds. Bring you an offering to the house of God and be an active give, and it shall be given unto you. Look at the promise of that. It says, given unto you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall he cause men to give to your bosom. Travis told me the other day. Now, I've believed this scripture for 30 years. He told me this the other day. I was reading in there, and he says, your gift will make room for you, and it will take you before great men. Back down yonder, I mean, I'm like, what? This has got to be for somebody else, man. You know, he's talking to Solomon or somebody in there, you know. But I thought, if God said it, well, then, black God, I'm going to expect it to happen for me. I'm going to expect it to happen. So year after year, I would confess out of my mouth every now and then. See, if you got to have the church to believe this stuff, you ain't going to get very far. We need one another, and we can glean off of one another, and the Bible says iron sharpens iron. It'll sharpen you up where you can go out and cut some stuff. Cut through some darkness. Cut through some unbelief. But you know what? Travis told me the other day, well, I went in, these people I deal with, they got money, man. I mean, you know, I went in and we was talking about doors and different things, you know, and I told them, oh, that's going to be a BMW or something, whatever, this door they wanted. And so we got to showing them stuff and all of that, and I told her, well, now he's a little nervous about what I'm saying, but then him and Travis walked out looking at another door we're going to do, and I told her, I said, look, y'all got money. I said, you can't take it with you. I said, now you don't want to just go break yourself. I said, but look, I'll get you a nice door. Now, I wasn't doing it trying to make no money. I mean, I didn't think about, yeah, jackpot. That had never crossed my mind. But you know what? When Travis, we left, I think it was a day or two later, he said, man, you know, you're going before people that's got money. That scripture's true. He said, your gift, every one of y'all has a gift. Every one of you got a gift. You might not know what that gift is. Well, number one, you got the gift of grace. Every one of us has been anointed through the anointed one and his anointing. Every one of us has purpose here to do for God. And God has to get us out of ourselves and out of our thinking up into his way of thinking, being. And then we walk different. We think different. We act different. And we take dominion. Hallelujah. Well, you know what? I don't go before broke men now. One guy's wanting me to do a door up there, and the door's going to cost $23,000. I mean, I could buy me a Silverado. No, not a new one. I could buy me an 85 model for $30,000. Especially on the marketplace, golly. I mean, they think they're the GMC factory place. Sonoma, $89.95. And I'm like, what? Man, I used to buy that down there at Cleveland for $150, man. You know, praise the Lord. But you know what? If you're in a place of faith and all of that, and these afflictions of the economy, these inflation and all of that stuff, don't eat you up. You believe God for increase. You believe God to increase you when things go up. Instead of going down, oh, I'm telling you right now, I was doing good until my peanut butter went up to $4 a quart. Well, good. Just believe God for a $4 quart, right? Steaks went up big time. I'm like, but God ain't stopping me from eating a steak. God, I know how to get an increase from God. I still eat steak if I want it. Well, it's because you own your own business. You're missing the whole point. No, we are His business. We're His and He takes care of us. So I want to encourage you, you know, and even the scripture over where in Hebrews where it says, Hebrews 10:35-36, he says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. It says, you have need of patience after, somebody say after.
After.
Not before. Not before you tithe. Not before you sit in that long line and don't gripe for 3 hours. You know. When you start sweating, some of you don't even sweat. You start sweating, you get irritated like a hornet. My dad told me one time there was a big hornet nest, and he was hearing us kids. It was about a half mile down the road, Mac, big old hornet. We spotted it in a tree hanging over the road. So we're down there. We're going to get a BB gun, but we couldn't get our brother to let us have a BB gun. And so Dad heard us talking. We're going to go over there and rock it. And my dad, he said, boys, y'all better leave that hornet nest alone. You know, we're 7, 8 years old, you know, and barefooted and shorts on, probably underwear is all we had. And so he said, boy, I'm telling you, they're going to get you. And I told Dad, I said, Dad, they can't catch me. I said, there's no way them hornets can catch me. You know, because I could outrun any of my brothers and sisters, you know. And so anyways, I told him, I said, nah, they're not going to, listen, man, we'll stay way down, way down. And I threw a rock and hit that thing, and I'm telling you, man, I took off running instantly. And I got about far from here to Sandy, whop in the back, another one, whop in the back. And I thought, how are they finding me? Well, I didn't realize they're following the scent of that rock back to me. They followed the scent of that rock. Didn't matter how far I run, they coming to get me. They're mad, you know. Well, you know, that's what the enemy does when you go to start taking ground. I mean, he likes to turn it up and start telling you you're going to fail. This won't work for you. You're not going to have no breakthroughs. God ain't going to move mountains for you. He'll do it for them because they have great faith. Don't listen to his lies. We ain't got great faith. We got the faith of God. You got the same faith. See, what he's trying to do is get you not to believe God, not to believe his word, like you're not worthy. I felt like one of the most unworthy people on the planet to be saved. I felt like, God, how could you choose me? How could you? I've even told him before, how could you choose me and Teresa to work in ministry for you, God? You know, and all of that. And you know what? God would say it's not based on how you was raised. It's not based on how you think. It's based on what I've called and graced you to do, and you believe in me. Hallelujah. Well, I don't feel like that today. I feel like y'all are fortunate. I feel blessed to do this. I don't feel unworthy to do it. I'm in the middle of God's will, and my desire is to see you flourish and grow and lay hold of the things of God. That's going to happen. That's my desire. And I'm delighting myself in it. And he said he'd give me the desires of my heart, commit my ways, and I am. Look what I'm beginning to preach under a good anointing. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's how he's fulfilling that for me. Praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you.